finds Barrett. Get a shot up. This is for the win. Oh, it's good. Off the window. RJ Barrett wins it for the Knicks.
Boston does a great job. Tatum is right there. He just throws it up, desperation, and gets it off the glass. 4 for 15 on the night, but he made the one he had to make. Great game and a great finish.
New York Knicks rally from a 25-point deficit to beat the Celtics at Madison Square Garden. And that was a game winner. RJ Barrett over Jason Tatum banked it in for a three to win the ballgame 108 to 105. And if we have time, we'll go over a little bit of NBA stuff coming up later on in the program. And also later on during the ticket, we'll hear from Isaac Brown, Andy Reid, Patrick Mahomes, and Bill Self as KUK State and Wichita State in action this weekend. And the Chiefs have a chance to wrap up a number two seed and possibly get the number one seed in the AFC playoff picture. But first, we turn over to Dusty for local sports.
Yeah, we have high school hoops coming up here tonight. I do want to let you know they have had a rescheduled date put in for the St. John's Tipton Sacred Heart games that were supposed to be played yesterday. That's going to be played now on February 14th. So that's the reschedule for Sacred Heart and St. John's Tipton from yesterday. High school hoops action continuing tonight. We have action on our station, video stream, and also around the area on KD Country 94 and online video at the Beloit Trojan channel at ncksports.com tonight. Beloit at Hoisington. Girls pregame coverage beginning at 5:50 and tip at 6 with the boys game to follow. And then on Z96.3 through the lake and katycountry94.com here this evening. Lakeside is at Pike Valley and Northern Plains League action. Pregame coverage starting around 5:50 for the girls. Tip off 6 and the boys to follow there as well on Z96.3. Other games that are going on in the Northern Plains League tonight. Osborne is at Lincoln. Rock Hills is hosting Chase. Thunder Ridge hosting Natoma. And Sowin Lucas is on the road at Tescott. And Southern Cloud at home there in Glasgow against Wilson. And in the Mid-Continent League, Smith Center hosting Ellis tonight, and Concordia is at Wamego in the NCKL this evening. So that's a look at what's going on as far as our high school basketball schedule. Also, real quick, we'll tell you about the wrestling going on tomorrow before we jump back into the games that are on our area or on our stations and video stream tonight. Wrestling coming up for area squads tomorrow. Beloit and Smith Center are at the J.R. Durham Invitational in Norton, and that starts at 9:30. And then Osborne's at the Ellsworth Invitational tomorrow. That starts at 9 o'clock as well in high school wrestling. So, again, that's a look at what's going on here tonight and over the weekend for our area athletes in high school hoops. So, again, katycountry94.com tonight and ncksports.com below at Hoisington and on Z96.3 Lakeside at Pike Valley. You can always check out ncksports.com for all of the latest in local sports here in North Central Kansas. We have our Athlete of the Week, Tyler Schoen, from Lakeside, and you can check out all the info you need, schedules for all the area squads and updated standings and everything of that nature. Again, is right at your fingertips at ncksports.com.
All right, tonight we have Beloit at Hoisington. We'll see how many people are available to play with all the sicknesses going around for not only Beloit Hoisington, but Lakeside, Pike Valley, and anybody else that's playing tonight. But Beloit at Hoisington. Hoisington girls won easily over Beloit a year ago, but they lost a lot of talent from last year's team. They still have size, and they still have some shooters, according to Sean Remus, head coach of Beloit, coming off the big upset win over number 4-ranked Phillipsburg.
I know they came in last year, and they were pretty good shooters, and so we're going to have to keep their shooters in check. But they also have some size. So right now, you know, I'll break some film down and see what we want to do defensively. But we're just going to have to go in with the mindset that, you know, we can win any game, and I think the kids believe that now. And I think, you know, we'll have a great chance.
And they do. I mean, if you can beat number 4-ranked Phillipsburg, yes, you can beat anybody probably in the state or at least hang with them. And it's a good opportunity for Beloit to get a win tonight. I mean, if they play like they did the other night, they should win. But it is a road game, and there's all kinds of variables, as we know, in sports and with young people. The girls' game tonight, pregame about 5:50 on KD Country 94 and KDCountry94.com. Live video stream at ncksports.com via the Beloit Trojan channel. And on the boys' game, Hoisington lost 7 seniors, all 5 senior starters, but they still have 3 kids that are very good. They're returning varsity experience, led by another Haxton kid, their point guard, Layton. They have a very good guard in Braylon Thompson as well. So still talented group that Beloit will face tonight. And once again, not sure Beloit will be at full strength.
They lost a good group of seniors from a year ago, but they return a couple kids that are capable of really scoring the ball. And you know, for us, it's going to, you know, just improving no matter who's playing, who's feeling well, who's not. It's just, you know, recognize situations, get different guys in there, and you know, improve it. And that's kind of what we're our goal be Friday, no matter who's available for us to play.
So Beloit Hoisington tonight, Hoisington's 3-3. They kind of run a different style now than they have the last few years with that senior bunch that graduated. And it'll be a good test for Beloit. They've got some size and they've got some talented guards and a team that was up one on the road at Hayes. And Hayes is very good. And they're up one at halftime. And then Hayes, you know, end up pulling away in the second half. So they played some decent competition. Be a good test for Beloit tonight on the road in the boys game. Dusty, you got Lakeside and Pike Valley tonight, and I know you talked to the coaches earlier this week, and Travis Eberle, girls coach, on the matchup against Pike Valley.
Pike Valley's always pretty well coached. You know, they got a Reeves girl, I think she's a freshman, and you know, all the Reeves kids are athletic, and I've seen her in junior high a little bit. She's quick and likes to try to get the ball to the hole, so you know, we gotta keep an eye on her, and they're usually a physical team, and so I think if we continue to play like we are and take care of the ball and play sound defense, you know, I like our chances.
So the girls game, what do you think, Dusty?
Yeah, it's Pike Valley is struggling with numbers right now. They've only got 7 that are going to be available here tonight. They had started with the season with 8 that were out. So Coach Eberle talked about Brianna Reeves there, and that's definitely who you have to keep your focus on and your focal point when you're trying to defend them and slow them down. So they did come off of a win over Tescott 34-15 on Tuesday, so they got their first league win and just their second win of the season. But they are coming in with that victory. But Lakeside has really played well so far this season, and you know, they've come up against a couple good teams, have 2 losses at 4-2. But you know, Lakeside is definitely a favorite tonight if they can go out and play their game, and especially the way they've been playing here over the last couple games, heading into the break and then coming out of the break with that big win over Logan Palco there on Tuesday night. So Lakeside definitely a favorite there in this girls contest this evening.
All right, in the boys game tonight, Lakeside at Pike Valley. Dusty have the call on Z96.3 The Lake, and always a good challenge to go on the road, according to Drew Dusky.
They're athletic, they're quick, they get in your face. You know, up there's a tough place to play. You know, it's a hostile environment, I guess I would say. So we just got to continue the momentum we have from the Logan game and continue to play well. I told our guys, you know, after the game that, you know, our offense is flowing really well, and you guys are buying into what we're trying to do defensively. You're a good team. You're hard to beat. And we just need to keep that mindset and that focus going up to Cortland on Friday and hopefully even come away with another win.
Yeah, and the Lakeside boys, again, a favorite, but there's been games where, you know, Pike Valley was down a couple of years ago, and they came into downs and gave it Lakeside everything they wanted. So these games always seem to be battles, just like Coach Dusky was talking about there, and Lakeside is another team on the boys' side now that, you know, after that tough loss to Thunder Ridge there to finish out the preseason tournament, they ended up losing to Bennington on the road, a really good team there, and you know, they were 1-3, and a lot of people were kind of surprised about that record there at that time, but they've won their last 2 games pretty handily against Chase, and then played well against Logan Palco to pick up a win to start the second semester on Tuesday, and definitely feeling better about themselves. And if they can get Tyler Schoen to have games like he did, other guys to step up, other than just Kylan Cunningham, who's now really come on and started playing well as well. He kind of struggled at that preseason tournament, but he's starting to find himself, and so you're seeing this Lakeside team start to, I think, become a little bit more confident about what they're doing and who they are. And again, that'll be a challenge tonight against Pike Valley on the road, but Lakeside definitely a team that should be up to that challenge here this evening. So look forward to these games tonight, just to see where both Lakeside teams are after you know, the first semester, and then getting into the second semester here with wins on Tuesday and trying to build off of that.
All right, rest of the basketball, you want to talk about any of that?
I went through all of them already. Nothing really, let me pull that back up, of what we got. But, yeah, tonight Osborne at Lincoln, so the Osborne girls and boys both looking to keep their unbeaten records intact. Rock Hill's hosting Chase. Again, Thunder Ridge home against Natoma tonight. Sylvan Lucas at Tescott, Southern Cloud hosting Wilson. Really interested in seeing how the Ellis-Smith Center games will come out tonight as well. And then Concordia at Wamego this evening is the other games in the immediate area here this evening. So that's high school basketball for tonight.
All right, looking forward to that. For latest sports information locally, go to ncksports.com. College hoops this weekend, number 6 Kansas, 12-1 on the season, 2-0 in the Big 12. Will be at Texas Tech. Actually, that'll be number 25 Texas Tech. KU is actually 1-0 in the Big 12. 10-3 Texas Tech, and they're 0-1. They rank 25th, K ranked 6th. 2:30 pregame tomorrow. Tip off at 3 on Z96.3 The Lake. And Texas Tech known for their defense. Bill Self well aware of that.
Now, Texas Tech guards, and so we'll have to attack the way they keep the ball on one side better. But we got some stuff that we got to really study and try to figure out a way to get the ball side to side against them.
Was it dinner time or something? I heard a bell. Yeah,
I don't know what that was.
Come and get it. All your food.
Never know what's
going to
happen when you're getting these cuts, and the coaches probably don't either.
Yeah,
it sounded exactly. Like it might have thrown Bill off a little bit there.
Yeah, I don't blame him. Almost threw me off, and I wasn't even talking. KU should win this game, and they're the more talented team, but they've had a few struggles at times at Texas Tech, and one thing is for sure, if you can play really good defense, you're going to be in the game. Texas Tech's been a little shorthanded in regards to some players being out due to COVID-19 protocol. So who knows if they're at full strength or not when KU goes on the road tomorrow to take on Texas Tech. Once again, 2:30 pregame on Z96.3 The Lake. K-State men's basketball team looking for their first Big 12 win of the season. I have no idea who's all available tomorrow for them either, including their head coach, Bruce Weber, who had to sit out the last game due to COVID-19 protocols. K-State 0-2 in Big 12 play, 8-5 overall at West Virginia. Winnable game. West Virginia 11-2, 0-1 in Big 12, 1 o'clock on ESPN Plus tomorrow. I would ask you, what do you expect in this game? But that's basically asking you to look at a crystal ball and predict how many players will actually be available to play.
Yeah, it's you don't know anything. I tried to find some stuff, last night about who's doing what, and there's just nobody really knows right now because the protocols and who's out here, and so I don't. I'm surprised they're even going to play the game, to be completely honest with you. But they must have enough players that
they have.
They
just
to
have
go.
Six. Yeah. I mean, that's the Big 12 rule.
Yeah. And so, I didn't know if there'd be more that would end up in the protocol, and so you just don't know.
Still a ways to go between
the tip has not come yet for this game,
right.
So they might, and I highly doubt that they've left yet, so
yeah.
I'm sure sometime they leave today, and that's when they make the decision to say, hey, I guess we're good to go.
That's another factor in the equation. Your normal travel routine, now you might leave a little later than normal just to play a little safer because you hate to get there and then turn around.
You probably want to test before you leave.
Oh, absolutely.
And then you're going to have to test tomorrow anyway.
Right.
But, you definitely want to make sure, hey, we're good today anyway before we go off.
Yeah. K-State women are having a much better season. They're 12-2 overall, 2-0 in the Big 12. They also were on the road at West Virginia, and that's at 6 o'clock tomorrow. West Virginia 7-4, 0-1, so they could just take a big charter bus.
Yeah. Take a big flight. You probably don't want to be with the men's team right now. And
probably not.
That issue
probably not.
On
Stay
your
away.
Women's team, too.
Stay away. Stay away. That'd probably be the best idea, yeah. So K-State at West Virginia, that's on ESPN Plus tomorrow at 1 o'clock. Texas-Oklahoma State at 1 o'clock on CBS. KU at Texas Tech at 3 o'clock on Z96.3 Lake. Baylor at TCU. Baylor number 1 undefeated at 4 o'clock. Iowa State-Oklahoma is an intriguing game. That's on ESPNU at 5 o'clock tomorrow. And then coming up on Tuesday, KU will be at home against Iowa State. And K-State will play next Wednesday when they host TCU. And Brian Haney, voice of Jayhawks, was with us yesterday on the show. And he said, if KU can get these first two wins, they're 2-0, and they've won at two of the more hostile environments in the Big 12. Granted, they haven't played Baylor yet and Texas. But, usually Kansas gets a first – not first game, but one of – they don't usually start with two road games to start the season in conference play. Well, they do this year because their first game was supposed to be home against TCU and then two road games. So they haven't made up a date yet as to when KU and TCU are going to play that game at Allen Fieldhouse. But KU's won 31 consecutive conference openers, and 19 of those have been on the road. See, there are many people who just throw it out. Of course they've won all those conference openers because they're at Allen Hill Fieldhouse every year. No, they're not. 19 of 31 have opened on the road. Now, I hear K-State complain about how they're always on the road to start Big 12 play, whether it be football or basketball, and it's a valid complaint, no doubt, especially in football.
Football again next year.
I know. In football, definitely. Basketball, they complain about some too. But then you look at it like, okay, if K-State and KU are always – like two-thirds of the time opening on the road, then who's getting the two-thirds of home games?
Yeah, exactly.
Is that Texas and
Oklahoma? For sure.
Seems like Oklahoma
it seems
is.
Like in football. I don't know about basketball.
Yeah, I don't know about basketball either. All right, Wichita State's in action. 9-4, 0-1 in conference play. They had a week off, and they're at number 12, Houston. Tough test for the Shockers tomorrow on CBS at 11 a.m. Houston 13-2, 2-0 in conference play. And Isaac Brown, a head coach of the Shockers, on what needs to happen, what are the keys against Houston?
You got to go down to Houston and play well in order to have a chance to win the basketball game. Number one, you can't turn it over. You got to be able to make wide-open shots. You got to take care of the ball when you throw it in the post because you're going to get double-teamed, and you got to rebound.
Wichita State's got to play a lot better than they did their last game against Memphis. Memphis is very, very talented. Memphis might be the most talented team in the American Athletic Conference. They were a preseason top five, top ten team. Wichita State pretty much got blown out, and part of that was they couldn't make shots. So, going to have to make shots, obviously, on the road at number 12 Houston coming up tomorrow morning at 11 a.m. NFL, it's the final weekend of the NFL season, the regular season. This is week 18. People get confused sometimes. Week 18, I thought we played 17 games. We do. There's a bye, so that's why they call it week 18. Chiefs are 11-5 at the Broncos, 7-9. Pregame tomorrow, tomorrow. I was stopping myself, but no, it is tomorrow. Tomorrow at 2 o'clock pregame on KD Country 94. KU and the Chiefs play at the same time, which is great for KU, Jayhawk, and Chiefs fans because then it's like you got to pick one. That's a bummer. But anyway, bottom line is this. The Chiefs are on KD Country 94 tomorrow, so that we have KU on Z. So we're both on the radio. The Chiefs will be at 2 o'clock pregame, 3:30 kickoff in Denver, take on the Broncos on KD Country 94. The Chiefs have won 12 in a row against Denver. Mahomes is undefeated 8-0 against Denver. Teddy Bridgewater's out with a concussion. He's done for the season. Drew Locke is battling a shoulder injury, but he's expected to start. Everything on paper says the Chiefs should win this game. They're upset they lost last week. They still have something on the line. By playing on Saturday, the Chiefs could put the pressure on the Titans at least, or make the Titans beat the Texans on Sunday. So the Chiefs, when they go play tomorrow in Denver, they know that, hey, the number one seed is still possible. Now, had the Chiefs played Sunday and the Titans played Saturday and the Titans won, then the Chiefs would have been like, okay, we can't get the one seed. Maybe they would rest some more guys. Who knows? But there is a chance they could lose the number two seed as well, although the Bengals are – Joe Burrow's not going to play some of their best players, so the Bengals are saying we're not even – we don't think the Titans are going to lose. We don't think the Chiefs are going to lose. So we're just going to go ahead and give up on a one seed. That's just very far-fetched. So they're going to prepare and get ready for the playoffs. So what do you know? NFL players are opting out. Where's the uproar about that? Now, granted, they're sitting out a game and then they'll be back. Don't get me wrong. But it is interesting when you look at it from that standpoint. So the Bills can't get the one seed. The Patriots have a chance. If the Chiefs, the Titans, and the Bengals would all lose, and then the Patriots win, they have a chance at number one seed, believe it or not. Highly doubtful. But the Chiefs could lock in the two seed with a win, so they have something to consider playing for coming up tomorrow in Denver. Here's Mahomes on the success they've had against the Broncos, but still respects the Bronco defense.
We've been successful as far as winning games, but they're always hard-fought battles. And that defense, I mean, they got playmakers everywhere. And they run a great scheme. They have a great defensive coordinator. They have a great defensive head coach. And they have a good feel for playing against us since we play so much. So it's always a tough-fought battle for us. A great football team. Great defense, and playing in Denver is never easy. So we found ways to win games at the end of games a lot of the times here, but we always know it's going to be a great challenge for us.
Yeah, Denver usually does. Their defense keeps them in the game against the Chiefs. They just never can do enough offensively. They're always strapped offensively. They just lack that firepower. They've got some decent receivers, but they once again, it comes down to quarterback. I just hate to dwell on it, but it's as simple as that. The Broncos are what the Chiefs used to be, retread quarterbacks where they can be respectable, maybe even make the playoffs from time to time, but they're not a Super Bowl threat. And the Broncos are going to have to address that in the offseason and maybe in the draft and get a franchise quarterback, which they passed on two possible ones, Justin Fields and Mac Jones, last year's draft. The other thing is Vic Fangio is kind of a lame duck coach right now. Three seasons with the Broncos, they haven't really come that close to sniffing the playoffs. So are the Broncos going to come out and play hard for their coach to keep him? Or they'd be like, hey, he ain't going to be here anymore anyway. We don't want to get hurt and worry about getting hurt and give up. Not give up, but just, you don't maybe try as hard, or certain guys don't play. You get nicked up in the game. You say, that's it. I'm just out for the rest of the game, because this game doesn't mean anything. It is a meaningless game. And we talk about the bowl games and college players opting out, Cheez-Its Bowl, the Mayo Bowl. It's meaningful. It's meaningful to the seniors. It's meaningful to people. But when we say meaningless, it means that there's no championship on the line. There's no league title on the line. There's no seeding for playoff implications. The Broncos right now, just like the Broncos, the Texans, who the Titans play tomorrow, the Jaguars, who play in the Colts, these are meaningless games for the most part from a big scope of things. Now, however, for Drew Locke, it's not meaningless. He has a chance to maybe – he plays great. And for Vic Fangio, if the Broncos would upset the Chiefs, maybe it saves his job. And if Drew Locke plays great, maybe he has a chance to be the starter next year. Mm-hmm. So there is meaning to the game, no doubt about it. And when we sit here and say, well, there's no way the Broncos are going to beat the Chiefs. There's no way the Titans are going to lose to the Texans the second time. There's no way the Jaguars are going to beat the Colts and so forth and so on. we see it every year. Like, every year at the very last week of the NFL season, somebody beats somebody that shouldn't beat somebody. And I remember the Chiefs one year needed four things to happen, and the Broncos, if I remember correctly, helped them out, or maybe it was the 49ers beat the Broncos. I don't even remember. But the bottom line was the Chiefs backed into the playoffs and needed, like, three or four things to happen, and nobody said it was very likely. In fact, people said, that's a pipe dream. And what do you know? They made it. Then the very next year, they were a much better team, had a better record at 10-6, and didn't get in the playoffs and knew it going in the final week of the season, because every year's different. You know, you don't know how top-heavy the conferences are going to be. So here's Andy Reid on the Chiefs being bumped up a day to play on Saturday.
We're going to try to do our best for us so we can keep getting better. And that's where we're at, not for anybody else. Don't care if it's Saturday, Sunday. I mean, whenever we're playing, we're playing. That's the kind of locker room I've got. They roll with it. It's a little bit of a sudden change for everybody involved, the whole organization getting ready. But Denver's doing the same thing. So, and they want to win the game too. So that's, we've got to make sure we're ready for them.
Absolutely. You got to be ready. Can't overlook anybody. Chiefs should win. They're 11.5-point favorite, whether that matters or not. I think the Chiefs will win and they'll be all right. And if they could blow them out, they could rest some guys, you know, going in the fourth quarter. That'd be great too. So, you know, I don't expect an upset here, especially after they just come off a loss.
Yeah, that's the part that I don't think bodes well for the Broncos, is that they're probably pretty frustrated and mad coming into this after that loss to Cincinnati, and they don't want to fall any further down here. And that's why I'd give the edge to the Chiefs for sure, is because I think they're going to be even more focused going into this game than they already would be, and they're usually pretty focused when they're playing the Broncos. That's been pretty obvious over the last 12 games anyway. And so, yeah, I don't anticipate the Chiefs losing tomorrow. That's definitely it's not something I'm ready for, I'll tell you that, if it would happen.
Yeah.
I'll be pretty surprised if it does happen. And, yeah, the Chiefs, I think, are – and this is a good primer for them. And I think they need to play well to feel good about themselves in case they don't get that number one seed, you know. If the Titans go ahead and do what they're supposed to do and win against the Texans, then the Chiefs need to be – I think they understand they need to be a well-oiled machine going into the playoffs. They don't want two setbacks and starting feeling bad about themselves. And
right.
They need to be pretty much primed and focused. And I feel like act like this is just an extension and getting yourself ready for the playoffs instead of just sitting around and, you know, taking a break here. Because this has not been a season where that's flip-the-switch Chiefs can do whatever they want, right?
No. Clyde Edwards-Helaire missed another game. I had said that when he got hurt, and then they said it wasn't as bad as they thought. I'm like, he ain't going to play the rest of the regular season.
Yeah,
they're getting him ready for the playoffs. Lucas Niang, of course, is out for the season with a season-ending injury. Orlando Brown, calf injury. He has been a full participant the last 2 days. Anthony Hitchens with a knee. Legarius Sneed a knee. And Derek Nnadi a shoulder, and all of them been full participants. So the Chiefs are very healthy, and that's the biggest thing. You know, whether the Chiefs win or lose this game tomorrow, they're going to have a first-round game at home no matter what. At worst, they'll be the 4 seed. And more than likely, they're going to be the 3 seed because the Bengals aren't playing their players. So the Chiefs, at worst, will probably be the 3 seed. And very well could be the 2 seed. 2 of the 3, does it matter? Yeah, it does, because the second round, you could end up being on the road compared to home. So it still has something to do. It's still important. But at the same time, probably the biggest thing is to be healthy coming out of this game.
Yeah.
Don't have a serious injury of one of your key players in a game that, you know, you should cruise in or at least win comfortably. And the Broncos have all kinds of injuries. And, of course, once again, you got guys that aren't going to put it all on the line if, you know, in a game that doesn't – I mean, they can't, the Broncos can't even get to 500. You can't even argue that. They're 7-9. So we'll see how it plays out. Now the question is, of course, will there be upsets? The schedule in the NFL tomorrow, Chiefs-Broncos, 3:30, 2 o'clock pregame on Z96, or on KD Country 94. Cowboys are at the Eagles tomorrow night. The Eagles and Cowboys have both locked up playoff spots. The Cowboys, there is something for them to play for from the standpoint that if they win and they could move up in the seeding, they couldn't get the 1. The Packers wrapped up the 1.
Mm-hmm.
They could move up. Right now they're the 4 seed, and that would allow them to avoid the Rams or the Cardinals in the first round of the playoffs. So there's something for the Cowboys to play for there. The Eagles, you know, if they win and the Niners lose, they can move up to the 6th spot instead of being in the 7th spot. So whether that's important to them, I don't know. My guess is it's not. You know, who do you want to play? You could argue you'd rather play the Buccaneers than you want to play the Rams or even the Cowboys.
Mm-hmm.
You could argue that. The Bucs are beat up, and the whole Antonio Brown saga and distractions and all that. And then Sunday, the Packers at the Lions, and I'm sure the Packers are going to rest all their guys. Why wouldn't they? They have a first-round bye wrapped up, number one seed. It would be dumb to play anybody of noteworthiness in that one. The Colts are the Jaguars. Jaguars are 2-14. They have an interim coach, rookie quarterback. Colts are 9-7. This is the game, I think, that people need to keep an eye on, because when I look at this, the Jaguars got blown out 50-10 last week. Have they checked out of the season? Very well possible. At the same time, the Jaguars, for some reason, have played the Colts well the last few years. They're 2-2 against the Colts and 2-27 against the rest of the league. Do I expect the Colts to lose this game? No, but I'm saying I would not be surprised if they did. I think the Colts will win the game, but I think it's going to be a little dicier than some people might think. But that all depends on the Jaguars' care. And last week, it didn't look like they cared.
Yeah.
And that's been a mess of a year for that team with the whole Urban Meyer saga from the very beginning.
It feels like they're just ready to get out.
I think that's why I lean towards the Colts game.
Yeah.
This game.
In a different year, I would mm-hmm. maybe actually say, hey, the Jaguars might do this, get the upset. But I think the Colts will beat them by 3 touchdowns.
I think the NFL is pulling very hard for the Colts to win this game. That way, the Charger-Raider game is a winner, getting the playoff, loser, done.
Yeah.
Make it clear cut. Washington's at the Giants. Who's going to care about that one? The Bears are at the Vikings. Who's going to care about either one? That one. The Vikings, a team that just underachieved this year. I think Mike Zimmer is probably on his way out as head coach of the Vikings.
I mean, you got to make change at some point.
They haven't even been above 500 the last two seasons.
Yeah.
I mean, they're good. They're like a lot. They're so much better than the record indicates, but a lot of really close losses. The Titans are the Texans. That's the game that Chiefs fans are going to be circling and watching very closely. I don't know if it's going to be Davis Mills or Tyrod Taylor at quarterback. Davis Mills played last week. The Texans are an improved team. The Texans beat the Titans earlier this year in Tennessee, so that's what a lot of people are hanging their hat on, and that's what I'm hanging my hat on, is that, hey, maybe the Texans have their number. The Titans have everything in the world to play for. The Texans really don't. But we see this every year. At the end of the season, there's at least usually one upset in the National Football League, and you scratch your head and go, how could that team lose when they had everything to play for, and why did that team win when they had nothing to play for? The Texans have nothing really to play for other than to spoil things for the Titans and have some pride and try to win a football game. The Titans have everything to play for, especially if the Chiefs win against the Broncos, that, hey, we got to just go out and win. That win for the Texans over the Titans early in the year, Tyrod Taylor was the quarterback. He played well, and the Texans won. Their defense played well. The Titans struggled. The Titans were without a lot of key players. They're without A.J. Brown, and they're without Julio Jones. They'll be without Julio Jones again tomorrow, it looks like, but they'll have A.J. Brown back. So that changes what they do offensively. They were, I don't know when the Derrick Henry injury happened, if that was before or after the last time they played the Texans, but they're trying to get Derrick Henry back, and they're setting a timetable there as well. And I'll tell you something. I think the Titans, it sounds crazy to say, but I think the Titans might be better off if Derrick Henry doesn't play, at least initially in the playoffs. And this might not make a lot of sense to you, but sometimes when you're playing decent football, and then you bring back a really key guy. Now, granted, quarterback's different, unless your backup quarterback's just tearing it up. See the Chiefs with Elvis Gerbach and Rich Gannon. I remember how that went.
Yeah.
Gerbach's a starter. He can't lose a job by injury. He's ready to go for the playoffs. And Gannon and the Chiefs were rolling, and then they went with Gerbach. And how did that go? Not well. There was no cohesion, and the Chiefs lost that playoff game and had brought Gannon in late to try to save the day, and nearly did. But then, of course, he had a kicker. Can't make a field goal. But I'm not sore about that at all. So
I'm not at all.
You're not either. No. So the Titans have everything to play for, but they may, you know, you want Derrick Henry back, but there's no way the Titans can be Derrick Henry back and give him the ball 25, 30 times. I think they're going to sprinkle him in. Now, if you do that, I think they're more dangerous that way, to be quite honest with you. But if they're going to try to go back to, well, this is the way we run offense with Derrick Henry, then I think there might be a problem. So it'll be interesting to see how they handle that whole situation and if Derrick Henry can actually come back and play effectively. Yeah. We still don't know that. I mean, running backs with, you know, foot injuries like that, not usually good.
Yeah. And he did not play, by the way, the first time the two teams
they
played.
Didn't play. He didn't play, and he's not playing this one either, so that's interesting. But I think Titans have found themselves more since then as to their identity without Derrick Henry is the point I want to make. Steelers at the Ravens. Ravens eliminated. The Steelers have a chance to make the playoffs. They need the Colts to lose, and if the Steelers win, they are into the playoffs from what I understand. Unless the Raiders and Chargers would decide to play to a tie on purpose.
Yeah.
Brandon Staley, Chargers coach, said, hey, there's too much integrity in the game. That's not going to happen. Like, I figured it wouldn't, but I think it'd be kind of funny if it did. Bengals are at the Browns. Bengals resting all their starters. Browns, Baker Mayfield having surgery on a torn labrum. Yeah, I want to stop for a moment. Baker Mayfield is a guy that I respect. I think he's a gamer. I know he's a gamer. I mean, the guy's been playing hurt all year long, and all the heat he's been getting from people across the country, they keep forgetting he's been playing with a torn labrum. That can't really help you be a good quarterback. I know. It was his non-throwing arm, but it's still, I think it was a non-throwing arm. I don't know how he could play through a torn labrum all the way through his throwing arm. But I mean, he played.
I think Jesse Ertz did it, but
yeah,
it's not ideal.
But think about how many times he probably got shot up with painkillers so he could just play for the Browns. I mean, he's fought hard for the team. He hasn't played well, but he's not 100%. And I think you need to keep that in mind. And I think the Browns will when considering what they're going to do with Baker. Now, are you going to give him a big, huge contract like some of these other quarterbacks have gotten, Mahomes and Allen? Probably not. You might want to see one more year and see if he's healthy. But I don't think the Browns are going to walk away and give up on Baker Mayfield yet. That's just my
opinion. It is his left
I figured arm. So. Yeah. No, I was just saying, man, he's one tough hombre to play through it, right? Another, maybe the most intriguing game of the weekend, if you're not affiliated to a particular team, is one of the late games on Sunday at 3:25. The 49ers are at the Rams. The 49ers beat the Rams 5 times in a row. If the Rams win, they win the division. And the Rams win, they will be... What are they going to be, number 2 seed?
I believe they should be if they win.
I had the playoff picture pulled up here, and somehow it must have closed on me. I'm pretty sure, because right now, let's see here, playoff picture. Yeah, Rams are the 2 right now. I want to make sure they're a 2 right now. They are. So if they win, they are not only the 2 seed, but they win their division as well. And that means they would have a first-round matchup with either the Saints or the Eagles. Because if the 49ers lose to the Rams, then if the Saints win, the Saints will get that last spot, and the Niners are out. If the Saints and the Niners both lose, then the Niners are in, but then they're either the 6 or the 7, depending on what the Eagles do against the Cowboys. So the Niners have everything in the world to play for. So do the Rams, because you don't want to be the 5 seed and go play the Cowboys probably in the first round.
No.
Or anybody like that. You don't want to go on the road and play, well, I don't know how it all shakes out. If you got to go to Tampa, if Tampa loses, there's all kinds of scenarios here. But the bottom line is you'd rather be home than on the road. If you win your division, you're at home. You lose, you're not, and then the Cardinals win, then you are on the road first round of the playoffs, and you're a 5 seed. So you can be a 2 seed or a 5 seed. There's a pretty big difference there. So in the Niners, it's pretty obvious. It's either 6 seed or probably not even playing.
Yeah.
Huge, huge game. I need it for my case of beverages I have with my buddy. I picked the Niners to make the playoffs. So 49ers at Rams, huge game. Panthers at the Buccaneers. We'll see if anybody quits the middle of the game for the Buccaneers this week. The Seahawks at the Cardinals. Cardinals win, Rams lose, Cardinals win the division. If the Rams win, Cardinals win or lose, then the Cardinals are the 5 seed and more than likely go to Dallas for a rematch of a game they just won last week. And remember, Kyler Murray's never lost to AT&T Stadium. So, Cowboy fans, if you play the Cardinals, just forfeit, save time, and just call it a season. I'm kidding. The Patriots are at the Dolphins. Patriots, like we said, technically. Well, here's the thing. The Patriots can still win the division.
Mm-hmm.
If the Patriots win at the Dolphins and the Bills lose at home to the Jets, and the Jets have played better recently, then the Patriots win the division. And they would go all the way up to a 3 seed, 4 seed, maybe a 3 seed. And if the Chiefs and Titans somehow would both lose, then they'd go all the way to number 1 seed. Can you imagine? Jets are at the Bills. Jets should have beat the Tampa Bay Buccaneers last week at a 14-point lead. They have a couple of really good wins. They beat the Bengals, and they beat the Titans. So the Jets are capable of going to Buffalo and winning and spoiling the party for the Bills. So the Bills got to sit here and go, listen, we just got to win, and we get in the division, and we're at least a 3 seed, if not a 2, if the Chiefs lose. Saints are at the Falcons. Saints, simple, win, and the Niners lose, they're in. Considering all the – they've played like 4 different quarterbacks this year. They've been hurt. They've had COVID. Kamara's been out. Michael Thomas hasn't played all year, and the Saints still have a chance to make the playoffs. And here's what's crazy. If the Saints make the playoffs as a number 7 seed, you know who they play in the first round? Possibly. Or even the 6th seed, if they somehow get to the – well, they won't get to the 6th seed, be a 7th seed. But they could play the Bucs. The Bucs have lost the last 4 regular season games to the Saints with Tom Brady at quarterback. But the one win they got was, of course, the biggest one in the playoffs last year when the Saints turned it over 4 times. And the Saints still had a chance to win. So that would be intriguing. And then the big game, maybe, if the Colts take care of business against the Jaguars – then it means the Chargers-Raider game in Las Vegas Sunday night on NBC is for a playoff spot. Winner in, loser out. Here's a scenario for the Chiefs. If the Chiefs are stay in the two seed, let's assume the Titans win against the Texans. The Chiefs beat the Broncos. Chiefs are your two seed. They would play next weekend, first round of the playoffs, and I think the NFL might even bump them to Monday night, and I don't want to see that. Because then the Chiefs would have a short week to prepare for the divisional round of the playoffs. I think the Chiefs will probably play on a Saturday or a Monday. I don't think they're going to play on the Sunday. That's my opinion. If they end up being the two seed, I think that's what's going to happen. Now, if they be the one seed, they got the whole weekend off, as we know. So who do you rather play? If the Colts lose and the Chargers and Raiders both get in, then the Raiders would be the seventh seed. And that's who the Chiefs would play. If the Colts win and the Raiders win, the Raiders are the sixth seed, the Colts are the seven, the Chiefs play the Colts. And if the Colts and Chargers both win, then the Chiefs play the Chargers. So your choices are Chargers, Raiders, Colts. Well, for me, that's easy. You obviously want the Raiders. But that is the most far-fetched option. That's the least likely to happen. Uh-huh. Okay? So do you want to play the Chargers or the Colts? Dan Orlovsky of ESPN says that the Colts are the one team he thinks that can knock off the Chiefs. They match up with them, so forth and so on. I'm not fully jumping on that wagon. I know they can run the ball. I know they got both good lines, defensive front, offensive line. I still think their quarterback's going to have to make plays. I don't know if he can make enough plays against Mahomes and the Chiefs at Arrowhead. So that's why I'm not buying the Colts. The Chargers, I know, can make enough plays at Arrowhead because I've seen it already. And they have a quarterback that is much better than Carson Wentz. They don't have as good a running game, and they're not good against the run. The Colts are. Chiefs don't run the ball a lot anyway, so I don't know how much that matters. I think the Chargers are the most dangerous team of the three. The Raiders have played better as of late, but they still don't have that game breaker on the outside to test that Chiefs defense like we saw Jamar Chase and the Bengals. So to me, I come back to this. People go, well, it's a team that controls the clock. It's going to run the ball, so forth. It's got the best chance to beat the Chiefs. Has that worked in the playoffs when Mahomes been a quarterback? No, it doesn't. The Titans tried it. It didn't work. It just doesn't work. So to me, instead of focusing on what team's going to control the ball and keep it lower scoring, and the Chiefs defense is better than it's been the last couple of years, in my opinion, to me, you got to look at what team can score enough points with the Chiefs. Who has the most weapons and who can keep up with the Chiefs offense when it's clicking? And the Chiefs, I think, are very, very capable of clicking on all cylinders offensively. I mean, we saw it for a half against the Bengals. I mean, they're capable of it. So the Colts' defense is the best of the three. But of the offenses, the Chargers is the best of the three.
There's no doubt.
So to me, and you've mentioned it before, playing a team a third time, and I know if they play the Raiders a third time, and it's hard to beat a team three times in a year, and the Chiefs have rolled the Raiders twice, and, you know, there's that human nature element of, you know, well, we're going to beat the Raiders, and the next thing you know, you're in a dogfight against the Raiders in a 2-7 matchup, and you hate to see that. But the Chargers have won against the Chiefs at Arrowhead already this year, despite the Chiefs being turning over four times. The Chargers and the Chiefs are tied 28-28, and if the Chiefs don't win the coin flip, the Chargers might go down, score a touchdown, win the game, and the Chiefs might not even win the division this year. So the Chargers are the team I don't want to play. To me, it's not even that hard. But apparently other people think it's the Colts.
Yeah, I don't want to play the Chargers just for the simple fact that a third time.
And they know us.
Both
know
games
them.
Have been, you know, you're 1-1, but you easily could be, well, me both teams could easily be 2-0 or 0-2. You know, like both close games and came down to the wire there. And so, yeah, I mean, you don't. That's why I would put that at the top of my list of teams that I really don't want to play there if I don't have to. Yeah. So, yeah, I don't want to play the Chargers again.
I don't either.
Not saying they can't beat them.
No, they can beat anybody.
You just don't want to do it, right?
I tell you, this year in the playoffs, though, I think they can lose to anybody and they can beat anybody.
Absolutely.
And I think it's just really true just because of the matchups. But I know if the Chiefs play some of their best ball, they're the best team in the AFC. That's my opinion. Any surprises this weekend? You predict any upsets, any surprises? Anything that stands out to you? Like, man,
I don't
want
to, but, you know, it does seem like usually there's at least one of them, right?
Yeah. But you don't think it's going to be the Titans losing?
No, I'm not picked. I don't think the Texans are going to beat them again.
Listen, if the Chiefs do not make the Super Bowl and they lose on the road in the AFC title game, or if they just lose in the playoffs any point in time, many people are going to say, listen, the time the Chiefs lost their chance to make the Super Bowl wasn't that they lost in the playoffs. It was because they didn't get a first-round bye, and didn't have home field advantage at the playoffs, and it's because Steve Spagnuolo went on an all-out blitz on 3rd and 27 against the Bengals. And honestly, that'd be a fair point.
It's an argument for sure. Yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, you know, you still don't know how that ends up because the Chiefs, the Bengals make a field goal or whatever,
and maybe the Chiefs don't.
Feel like they were going to go down and score. Right. You know, they scored three points the entire second half.
Yeah, we assume they would.
Yeah,
we don't know if they get to three. We don't know if they would score a touchdown. They might have too much time on the clock for Burrow, and the Bengals go back down the field. We don't know if it's overtime. They go to the overtime, and the Chiefs lose the coin toss this time, and the Bengals go right down and score, and we never know.
Yeah,
but we do know that. We never got the ball back, so we never had a chance. So thus, people are going to blame Spags on that.
Exactly. That's where it comes in, is you never got a chance to get the ball back.
Yeah, you never did get it back. So if the Chiefs don't make the Super Bowl, I think that's going to be people are going to say, well, the reason we didn't is because we didn't get that first-round bye, and that would have helped us and healed up and more time for Andy to prepare. Or if they lose the AFC title game, well, see, it was on the road at Tennessee. That's why we lost.
I might be more of like a realist on that. I might be like, we didn't get it because we were up by two scores twice and couldn't hold on to the lead. And couldn't hold on to the lead and let Ja'Marr Chase and Joe Burrow just go all over the field and beat us.
I will say this. If the Chiefs lose at home, if they're the 2 seed and they lose at home in the AFC title game, or even in the divisional round, I won't buy the Spags cost us from that standpoint, because the Chiefs would be at home in all instances and they'd have the same amount of time to prepare as anybody else, so nobody's at an advantage.
Yeah.
Where I would agree with it is if the Chiefs end up losing the AFC title game at Tennessee, is the only equation where I would say, okay, yeah, Spags cost us a Super Bowl berth because of that decision. Because anybody else the Chiefs play is going to have no bye either.
Yeah.
See what I'm saying? It's an equal playing field.
Yeah.
And plus, the Chiefs would be at home, so it's not an equal playing field. So, but if the Titans would lose in the division round of the playoffs, like Baltimore did a few years ago, then the Chiefs would host the AFC title game for a 4th straight year. But right now, I mean, people are believing that the Chiefs are going to have to go to Tennessee. Patrick Mahomes has never played in a road playoff game. He's played Super Bowls in neutral sites. He's never played a road playoff game. That would be something. And as I said before last week, for Chiefs fans that are kind of freaking out because they're maybe not going to get home field advantage and, oh, no, how are we going to win the Super Bowl without it? Listen, if you think Patrick Mahomes is a great quarterback, and I do, and I think most people do, and you know this team has a lot of talent, if this team is really a Super Bowl championship team, of course they can go win one game on the road. I mean, the Buccaneers won 3 last year with a 44-year-old quarterback.
Yeah.
Well, that's the exception to the rule. But it happened last year. The Chiefs have a more talented quarterback. They have more weapons than the Buccaneers probably have offensively. Now, the Buccaneers' defense was better, no doubt, last year. But the point I'm trying to make is it's not like the Chiefs lost to the Bengals and now they're going to be a 6 seed or a 5 seed having to win 3 road playoff games. There's win against Denver, you're still the 2, and you only have to play 1 road game. One. And if the Chiefs can't win 1 road game to make the Super Bowl, they don't deserve to be there anyway.
Yeah, I don't disagree with that.
Yeah. All right.
And it's fun to think about, but, man, I'm the AFC Championship's the furthest thing from my mind right now with this team. I mean, they got to get through the first game.
Listen, think about the path that they might have to take. Think about the path the Chiefs have to take to get to the Super Bowl. Chargers first round or Colts at home. Both are capable of beating them. Second round, more than likely, you got the Bengals. Although I could see the Bengals losing the first round of the playoffs. I'm not used to being there. Burrow gets hurt, whatever. But you get the Bengals, but that'd be your Arrowhead. But that would be the Chargers, possibly, then the Bengals. Two teams that have beaten you already. And the AFC title game, you got to go to Tennessee. The Chiefs would have to be in that equation. Chargers, which is very realistic. I think the Colts, I do think that's what's going to happen. I think the Colts are going to win. I think the Chargers are going to win, and the Chargers are going to be – isn't the Chargers be the 7th seed then? Is that right?
It should be, yeah.
I think that's right. Because
I mean, if that's the way it is right now.
Well, right now they're the 7. I
mean, Colts are ahead of them right now.
I think what's going to happen is Chiefs are going to have to host the Chargers first round, and then I think the Chiefs are going to – you know, they're going to – the Colts could beat the Bengals in Cincy, no doubt, if that's the matchup. See, the Bengals lose, and the Bills move up to 3. Then the Bengals play the Patriots, and the Bills play the Colts. So the Chiefs could, their path, either way, it looks like, assuming that the Patriots don't beat the Bills or the Bengals. This is the Chiefs' path to the Super Bowl, assuming they are stuck with the 2 seed, all right? No home field advantage because the Titans get the 1. Here's their path. Chargers at home, then the Bills or the Bengals at home, more than likely, and then on the road at Tennessee. All four of those teams they've lost to.
Yeah.
So you can interchange the Bills and the Bengals. The only teams they haven't lost to, Colts and Patriots, and they didn't play them.
Yeah.
And as I said before, Chiefs fans should be not as concerned about home field advantage, not as concerned about the bye. You should be more concerned by the fact that the Chiefs haven't beat an AFC team worth a dang, except they beat the Chargers in overtime. That's the only team the Chiefs have beaten AFC is worth a darn. And they also lost to that team at home, yeah. And that's where they'd play. That playoff game is at home. So, to me, that's the concern. The Chiefs haven't proven, yeah, in past years they have, but this year's team's different. This year's team is 11-5. They may finish 12-5. All five of their losses are to really good teams. People keep throwing that at me. Well, they haven't lost to anybody bad, Wade. I'm like, I agree with you. That's great. They've beaten who they're supposed to. Problem is, they haven't beaten anybody that they need to beat to go to the Super Bowl. So why are they going to go win three straight? Well, I think they're capable of it, but let's be honest. When you play the odds here, that doesn't seem likely. You lose to every top contender in AFC. Now you're going to turn around and beat all three of them. Now, granted, two of those could be at home. And I think the Chiefs are very capable of doing it. But so far, you always say, I'll believe it when I see it. Well, we can say we believe it when we see it because we know the Chiefs have made the Super Bowl the last 2 years. But in this case, they're not – like the Chiefs, when they made the Super Bowl last 2 years, let's think about it. They did avenge a loss to the Titans and to the Texans to get to the Super Bowl and win it all. So that did happen. They only played two playoff games because of that first-round bye. So technically, the Chiefs already done this back when they won the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Last year, what was their path to the Super Bowl?
Oh, man. You're making me think.
They beat the Bills in the AFC title game.
They beat the Browns.
They didn't play the Browns. They had beaten the Bills early in the year.
Yeah.
So last year was different. But the Super Bowl year, they did beat two teams that had beaten them early in the year. That's actually true.
Yeah.
Now that I think about that. So, yes, the Chiefs can do it. But for me, until they beat that one team right off the bat in the playoffs that they have already lost to. And, of course, that could be the Chargers, who they've actually beaten. They've split 1-1. But that is a little bit of an alarming thing when I look at it, is they've lost. And a couple of the games they were blown out, and the other losses, they didn't find a way to win. Well, and it wasn't necessarily Mahomes' fault. It was he never got the ball back, or the Chiefs' defense didn't make some plays. And in some cases, the offense went stale for a while.
Yeah.
So.
You go. You're going through all these AFC championship game scenarios, and I'm like, the Chiefs might not even be there. Like, I mean, I know they've got to go play.
I know
it's not like the last couple of years where you feel like,
well,
you've
got to win two games to get there, and you haven't had to do that. And that's why people are all riled up about not having home field advantage and the number one bye, because the last 3 years you had that bye and you've only had to play two to get to the Super Bowl. That's why people say it's a big deal, and it is a big deal.
It is, and especially with this, since there's only one now, and your focus needs to be on that even more than maybe it is in the past.
Right.
If you value that and if you want that to be part of your plan, and I think every team does. I mean, who wouldn't want to have a first round bye and only have to win two games to get the Super Bowl instead of three? So, you know, it's just that's for me is like I gotta see them win early in the playoffs before I can even really think about who they're playing and where they're playing in the last game of the AFC playoffs.
Here's my prediction. You ready for this? I hope I'm wrong because I'd love to be wrong right off the bat. Titans lose to the Texans tomorrow. Chiefs win. Titans lose on Sunday. The Chiefs win tomorrow. Get the one seed. Get the backdoor one seed. That'd be great. I just don't think it's going to happen. So the Chiefs are going to play the Chargers in the first round, and then they're going to face – they're going to face the Buffalo Bills in the divisional round at home. Everybody talking about two best teams before the season. They're going to meet in an AFC title game, have a rematch. They're going to meet a round earlier.
Yeah.
Because the Bills win, and the Bengals not playing guys against the Browns. I know the Browns don't have Baker, but that game is in Cleveland. The Bills would move up to the three, and suddenly the Chiefs get the Bills coming to Arrowhead instead of the Bengals. And here's a question. Would you rather play the Bills or the Bengals in the second round? That's a tough one for me. That's a tough one for me because I almost think I'd rather play the Bengals because I think we'd make adjustments. We'd make sure Chase doesn't beat us again. Bengals haven't been there in the playoffs with that experience. I think the crowd could give them problems, whereas the Bills have had to deal with Arrowhead a couple times and know they can win at Arrowhead because they did it earlier this year. I think I'd rather play the Bengals than the Bills. What about you in the second round?
Yeah. This is the same thing that we went through when we want to play, right?
I think the Chiefs fans would say we don't want to play the Bengals because it's fresh in your mind. But we're up 14 three different times.
Yeah.
And you were able to do stuff offensively against them.
If so it was the
Bills
first...
are the team, I think I'd rather wait to face the Bills in the AFC title game, not in the division. Yeah. But
if it was the first game of the playoffs, I would say I'd rather face the Bengals because it's a team that hasn't been there, right? They're not used to it yet.
Right. If they face them in the second round, they've got a little confidence, and
they've picked up
that win. But
they'd
be a home game, they would never play on the road.
Yeah, yeah, so...
Yeah, I understand that point, though.
But the Bills, you know, there's history here between the Bills and Chiefs and playoff history, you know?
Yeah.
And so, you know, I'd probably say the Bengals just because of that.
Here's another scenario for you. Chiefs play the Chargers, and then they play the Bengals, and then the Bills upset the Titans, which wouldn't really be an upset. The Bills go to Tennessee and win in the divisional round. The Bills, remember, would have beaten Tennessee in Tennessee this year if not for a quarterback sneak. They were just short.
Yeah.
They could have tied it with a field goal. So the Bills can easily, we know they can go to Tennessee and win. So if the Bills stay as the four seed, let's say the Bengals still win, Bills stay as a four. Bills go to the Titans, possibly. They have played beat the Patriots first. Bills go to the Titans and win. And the Bengals, of course, play the Chiefs, and the Chiefs beat the Bengals. Then the Chiefs' route would be Chargers, Bengals, and guess what? They have home field against the Bills in the AFC title game. And I'll tell you something right now. Titans, Bills playing each other, I flip a coin. I have no idea who to pick in that game. I don't even care where it's played. If it's in Tennessee, I think it's a flip. If it's in Buffalo, I'd lean Buffalo. And I know the Titans have a first-round bye. The Bills and Titans games always come down to the wire the last couple of years. So yeah. I definitely think that you could argue that the Chiefs might have the better divisional round matchup playing the Bengals instead of the Bills than the Titans would. You could argue it. So we'll see. Because now what happens if the Chiefs do get the number one seed? Oh, yay, I can see it. Chiefs Kingdom. Yay, we got the number one seed. This is awesome. Oh, crud. We got to play the Bills in the second round.
Yeah.
Some fans haven't thought this all the way through.
No.
Thing is, you can't control it. Like, if you're the one, you're like, all right, we're going to play the Bills. Oh, wait a minute. The Bengals lost. Bills won. So we're going to play the Bengals. Or the Chiefs stay the two. All right, we're not going to face the Bills. Oh, no, the Bills won and the Bengals lost. Now we got to face the Bills in the second round. Bottom line is you got to go out and win. You got to beat the best to be the best, no matter what. So, you know, you'd rather play two games instead of three to get to the Super Bowl, no question. But what I'm trying to say is the path for the Chiefs to the Super Bowl, I think, is going to be the toughest they've had every year since Mahomes has been there.
Yeah,
because I think that Colts team this year is better than that Colts team a few years ago that the Chiefs beat in the divisional round and then lost to the Patriots in the AFC title game. I think, and then the toughest route, of course, it's the toughest route. They got to play an extra game. So this is going to be the toughest time to get back to the Super Bowl for the Chiefs, and it makes sense. It gets tougher and tougher year in and year out. They're trying to go to Super Bowl for a third straight year, trying to go to AFC title game for a fourth straight year, hoping to host it for a fourth straight year. This is going to be the toughest route, no matter what. If they're a one or a two, obviously one would be much easier, but if they stay where they are as a two, this can be by far the toughest route to get to the Super Bowl. They will have truly earned it. And then probably have to play the Packers, Rams, or Bucks, or Cowboys, and every one of those teams could cause the Chiefs problems.
Yeah. I mean, every team that makes it into the postseason could cause the Chiefs problems.
I just think it's wide open. And it's funny we say that. Why do we say that? Because the Chiefs defense is better than it's been all these last 2 years. Isn't that weird that we say that? But I think the league is just so full of parity. I mean, you look at the Arizona Cardinals. I mean, they were nobody could beat them the first nine games of the season or whatever it was. The Cardinals, they find their mojo again. There's no reason they can't go all the way to the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
They've got the talent to do it. Getting DeAndre Hopkins back would help a lot. I mean, their defense isn't bad. I mean, we're sitting here and we're looking at the Packers, Rams, Buccaneers, Cowboys. I mean, the NFC, to me, the only teams that won't make the Super Bowl would be the Eagles. I think the Niners can make it. The Niners are good enough defensively. Now, I question what they got at quarterback. But the Niners run game, control the clock. They've done it before. They have experience for being there a few years ago. I mean, I look at NFC. The only team I say isn't going to make the Super Bowl for sure, I'd say the Eagles. And if I'm looking at the AFC, honestly, I would say the team that I would say is least likely to make the Super Bowl is the guy that might be the best coach of all time and has Bill Belichick and the Patriots.
Yeah.
I guess I'd say Chargers. They probably wouldn't make it. Even if they beat the Chiefs, I don't think they can make it all the way there. But they're capable. So that's what makes it so much fun and yet so scary when you're a favorite like the Chiefs.
Well, yeah, and when you have a team that is your favorite playing in it, that's...
Well, you're freaking out no matter what matchup.
Yeah, and it's just like, what can go wrong today? Because something can.
Right.
And we're still, think about what could go right. I mean, you still live in that world.
Chiefs fans still stuck, some of them, on the pre-Mahomes days.
Yeah, and I don't think that's exclusive to Chiefs fans. Yeah. I think that's... when you... Even the good teams, you know, you get a lot of coaches, fans, and things like that, that you get stuck in winning still, but you still get in the back of your mind, like, what can go wrong?
Yeah.
How are we going to lose? Because we can't just keep winning, you know?
Yeah, right. All right, quick notes on NBA before we let you go. Knicks win last night, as you heard at the top of the show, on a buzzer-beater bank three-pointer by R.J. Barrett over Jason Tatum. Knicks are down 25, beat the Celtics 108-105. Grizzlies win by 30 over the Pistons. Ja Morant with 22. Pelicans beat the Warriors. The final was 101-96. Warriors, no Steph Curry, no Draymond Green, as Curry has really struggled the last two games prior to that, shooting the basketball. And the Suns get a triple-double from Chris Paul. Suns beat the Clippers 106-89. Clippers without Kawhi Leonard, without Paul George. Marcus Morris, former Jayhawk, led the way with 26 points in that one. Former Jayhawk Andrew Wiggins led the Warriors with 21 in last night's game. And those are the games of the NBA last night. And you look at the standings when it goes to the NBA. By the way, Udoka Azubuike on Wednesday night made his first ever NBA start. The top two postmen, Rudy Gobert and Hassan Whiteside, were out for the Utah Jazz. So I flipped. I happened to be watching NBA that night for a little bit, and they shifted because I watched the end of the Mavericks Warriors, and Steph couldn't buy a bucket. Warriors or the Mavericks won, and they retired Nowitzki's number afterwards, which was pretty cool. So they shift to the Jazz Nuggets game. So Jokic's so much fun to watch. I mean, he's just like almost unstoppable. He had a gigantic triple double, but the Nuggets lost. Jamal Murray's still not back, and so they go through the starting lineups, and there's Udoka Azubuike. I'm like, Udoka Azubuike's in the league? Like, okay, I knew he was like G League, but I didn't know he was on the NBA roster. And he started. He had alley-oop dunk on a pick and roll. He had 5 points, played 16 minutes, even though he started, didn't play a ton. And it was his first NBA start. I didn't know if Udoka Azubuike would stick in the NBA. I don't know if he will yet either, but he at least got a start the other night. So
yeah,
that's cool.
And I don't know, it could be there's a lot of G League guys getting called up because of COVID right now.
Yes, and he might be one of them.
Yeah.
I don't know.
And I don't think
they need three centers on the roster.
Honestly, haven't even looked at where he was before.
I mean, he's with the Jazz. It's just on their G League.
Yeah, I didn't know what his situation had been throughout the year with the Jazz, or if he'd been playing G League all year, or what his situation was. So,
yeah, I don't know.
But yeah, because Sneed got called up for I think he played
Will
for the Timberwolves. Xavier Sneed.
Xavier
Sneed. He's in Charlotte's G League group, but he's not bound to Charlotte. So the Timberwolves called him up, and he played in the game for them. So it's just a G League thing. Hey, that's what it's there for, is for guys to get chances. Not just to just sit and play basketball. It is there for those guys to get called up and have the opportunity. So it is good to see that. It's kind of not cool the way they're getting called up.
Right.
It's not the way you want it to happen, but that's what's happening. Right,
Udoka played in 15 games last year for the Jazz as a rookie. He's 22 now, and he's played in 5 games, so I would assume he got called up.
He had to,
Because you wouldn't have three
centers. I don't think you'd just have him sitting on –
Well, you
would
have three centers
and then have
the
him sitting on the bench when you can develop them.
Some don't. You have two centers. Some teams don't have one center.
Yeah.
Bulls have a game-and-a-half lead in Eastern Conference over the Nets. The Bulls are a great story. DeMar DeRozan has just been absolutely sensational, especially in clutch time. He had back-to-back nights with game winners. You see his two game winners?
I saw one of them, yeah.
The one where he just kind of like lunged into one
nonchalantly.
The other one was a corner and two guys all over him and hit a fadeaway in the corner and drilled it. Unbelievable back-to-back nights. First time in NBA history a guy's ever done that. Back-to-back nights, game-winning shots at the buzzer. He did it. Nets are game and a half back. They got Irving back for certain games. Bucks are 2.5 back. The Heat are in the 4 seed. The Sixers are 5. The Cavaliers, with Dean Wade, who's having a good season with the Cavs, is in the 6th spot. The Raptors, Fred VanVleet's been tearing it up lately, scoring like 32 a game. And the last 4 or 5 games, the Raptors now all of a sudden up to the 7th spot. They beat the Bucks the other night. The Hornets, Devontae Graham, former Jayhawk, he's with the Hornets. Kelly Oubre's with the Hornets. He had 32 the other night. These former Shockers and Wildcats and Jayhawks are tearing it up, man. And then the Celtics right now are in the 11th spot, and the Hawks the 12th. And those are two teams that are always highly thought of but not doing well. In the Western Conference, the Suns have a 1-game lead for the best record over the Warriors. The Jazz are right there, 2 games back. Grizzlies, the 4th best team. The Mavericks have moved all the way up to 5. The Lakers are up to 6. They're a game above 500. Clippers are at 8. The Nuggets are at 7. And Dusty Spurs are hanging on barely. by half a game to that 10th spot, and remember there's play-in situations possibly. That's why 9 and 10 are still important instead of just the top 8 like it used to be. And my Oklahoma City Thunder, much like the Seattle Kraken, waiting till next year to unleash their fury. They are 14th out of 15 teams in the Western Conference. But hey, at least they're not. It's still amazing. They lost by 73 points to the Grizzlies. Next time we played the Grizzlies, they won. That has to be something that's never happened before.
State, regional, and national sports talk on your schedule. The Sports Ticket Podcast. Subscribe via Apple, Google, and TuneIn Podcasts or sunflowerstateradio.com.